The next hour is a treat for me because it's my good friend Jimmy Devolano, the co-author, along with myself, I'm very proud to say, of The Road to Hockey Town. He's a senior vice president of the Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Tigers. Like, he needs an invitation, and Jimmy D back for the summer in Toronto. And it's nice to see you, my friend.
And good to be here with you, Roger, as always.
Jimmy D, I trust everything is well with you. You're looking great. Nice,
yeah.
Nice winter in Florida.
Yeah, it was a good winter in Florida. And, you know, Roger, I know that a lot of people may feel that we were a little disappointed with the Red Wings season this year, but actually, as it turned out, we weren't, because of all the things that occurred during the, you know, during, well, first of all, last summer, losing players to free agency because of the cap, and then early in the year getting hit with a ton of injuries. Key injuries. We were actually, quite frankly, worried about making the playoffs, but we did finally get everybody healthy, and the team hung in there. They made the playoffs, and we did get by the first round against a tough Phoenix team. You know, it went seven. We had to go into Phoenix and win game seven, and we didn't do quite as well against the Sharks. But on balance, we thought, all things considered, it was certainly a respectable year.
Oh, very much so. And, you know, that's the standard, Jimmy. You know, when you come down to it, I mean, including the team that plays in this city, a 100-point season again, fifth in the conference. A first-round playoff series win, second round, and with that home game, and a convincing 7-1 victory in the final home game, a game I had a chance to see live with Joe Louis, which was a great performance. Yes, it's not by Detroit standards, but Detroit standards are so high by everybody else. So that's the thing, I guess, when you sit back and you appreciate it, what's considered, like anyone would say, that's a disappointing season. You got a tough act to follow, your own.
Well, you know, Roger, it's an amazing thing. Our general manager, Ken Holland, gave me an unbelievable statistic, and it shocked me. We're 5 years out of the lockout, and Ken tells me that there are only three teams that have made the playoffs every year since the lockout. Now, we have a 30-team league, and he tells me there's three teams. I said, Ken, who are they? Well, he said, Detroit, San Jose, New Jersey. Everybody else, all 27, have missed the playoffs at least once.
That's phenomenal.
Since the lockout. Like, it is phenomenal. Like, I couldn't believe it. Now, you know what that tells you? Not much difference between the teams now. Lots of parity, Roger.
I tell you, you know, Jimmy, it was interesting. As you know, not only did I get a chance, thanks to your generosity, to get to see the Red Wings play. I saw the Ottawa Senators play in the first round. I remember watching that series against the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I'm sitting there in the arena. It was a six-game series loss. And, you know, I'm with some of the Senators executive, and they're disappointed and everything else. But the thing is, they say is, well, it's Pittsburgh. It's a defending Stanley Cup champions. You still feel good about yourself. Then you watch a second round. Montreal beats them in seven games.
Yes.
And you realize, that could have been us.
Yeah.
And it's a state. But that shows you the fine line between.
Fine line.
And, you know, if the Penguins win that seventh game against the Canadiens, they're probably back in the final again.
Well, so, you know, it's very true. Like, Roger, even with our series with San Jose, we went out in five games, but, you know, the games were so close, we felt that certainly we might have come out of that series.
But, well, 4-1 goal losses.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly. It was close, an overtime loss in one of those games. So, yeah, it is. It's a fine line. It's a close league, and there's no league, really, that has the parity of the NHL, really.
Jimmy Devolano is with us, senior VP of the Detroit Red Wings and Tigers. Roger Lajoie with you on the night shift tonight. Talks and basketball after midnight. Adam Proto previews the Stanley Cup Final for us a little bit later. We'll talk about the Stanley Cup Final, and we'll talk about Steve Yzerman a little later, Jimmy. But what is next for the Detroit Red Wings? You mentioned, of course, the fact that there were a lot of injuries this year, and given what happened in the previous offseason, usually the Red Wings are making a splash in the offseason. This past offseason, you made a splash because you were losing players,
yes.
not being able to sign them. You got back up against the cap, but where are you in relation to the cap this coming season? You've got a returning player, which is great news recently, so what's next for the Red Wings?
Well, Roger, here are the thoughts. I think the most important job we have, and everybody would agree, is getting Nicholas Lidstrom to come back and play hockey.
Oh, he's not going to retire. How can he retire?
Exactly. We don't think he is either, but Roger, until we get his name on a document, you know, you do have some concern. And we also have to, you know, see what kind of money that it's going to cost us, because We get Yuri Hudler back this year from the Continental Hockey League. That'll be an upgrade for us. Yuri is close to a top six forward, so he can score some goals. It's our desire to try to sign one more good player if we can. But in order to do that, Roger, we're going to need the cap to go up a bit. And I believe it is going to go up a bit because the revenues in the league again for the fifth straight year have improved. And that's what drives the cap. So if the cap will go up a little bit and some of the players that we have to sign, if we can make decent enough deals with them, it might give us a little bit of money, Roger, that we could go out and maybe sign one more pretty good hockey player. And I think we'd feel okay about next year.
Well, and you look at what the team did, and again, the 100-point regular season, Jimmy Howard's development as a goaltender.
That was a positive.
No question. Chris Osgood is still in the organization, so, I mean, there's still an element. There's a veteran to back up
if right.
there's difficulty, and we know what Chris can do and can't do
right.
in the National Hockey League. Overall, though, Jimmy, when you say, you know, an upgrade, what position, what is, based on the years you've been around this organization, is there one thing missing, or is it just a case this year it was a combination of a lot of things?
Well, I guess, you know, Roger, when I say I'd like to sign one good player, a lot will depend on whether we lose Andreas Lilly on defense or Brett Lebda. Then it might have to be a defenseman because we're going to have to replace those two. If they were to come back, obviously, then we might prefer a forward. But we do feel as a staff, Roger, that if we can add Hudler now, keep our players together, and then if we could just find some room to add one more pretty good hockey player at really any position, we feel we can remain competitive.
Well, and that's the thing. I guess, competitive, I mean, it's still kind of funny to look at that. I mean, you're a 100-point hockey club, and it's a bit of a disappointing year, and that bar being so high. Does there reach a stage, though, and it's something, you know, one of the great accomplishments of the organization, you've never had to rebuild. You've never had to tear, well, in 20 years. You've never, you know,
yes.
you've never had to really make a massive overhaul. In the free agent, before the salary cap era, you get the checkbook out, and you did it wisely,
yes.
but
yes.
the payroll was high. Then the salary cap era, you still manage to adapt, you get to it. But is there any kind of concern, and not that you're an old team, Lidstrom is old, but you reach a stage at some point, you're sitting back thinking, geez, maybe we've got too many players locked up here, you know what I mean? And we might get...
Oh, there's no doubt. This is a conversation that Ken has all the time. You know, we did long-term contracts with three players, Pavel Datsyuk, Henrik Zetterberg, and Johan Franzen. Roger, we had to do long-term contracts to get a proper cap number to make it work. As you know, they're three young stars, and they're players that we really know. They've won 2-3 Stanley Cups with us, each one of those fellas. We know them, and so we felt that there was no way we were going to let those players leave. And the only way we could keep them was with a long-term contract, because that's how you balance out the money.
I'll give a guy a 10-year deal, it'll cost you less per season.
But yeah. Roger, saying all that, we also acknowledge as an organization that we are done doing that. We could not do that now with another player, because you could really, really get handcuffed. We don't believe with Datsyuk, Zetterberg, and Franzen that they're such good character people and such good players. We really feel like we'll get our year's worth out of them. But saying all that, you can only do it with a couple of players, and generally you do it with your young stars that you believe will play hard for you for a number of years.
Oh, with a couple of players like that, that's a nucleus. Why would you want to sign anybody else long term? You'd like to have, everyone would like to have six or seven star players, but
yes.
if that's a core to start with,
yeah.
and of course, with Nick Lidstrom back, hopefully for another year or two, although the way he plays, Jimmy, I mean, people can say, well, maybe he isn't the overwhelming favorite for a Norris anymore,
no.
nominated for the Norris, but boy, Jimmy, he can still play in the National Hockey League.
Well, he's still, we feel, one of the top five defensemen in the league. There's no question. He is 40. There's no question he's not quite like he was a year or two ago. But who is when they become 40, you know? But he's played 18 years, and I can only speak from a personal level. We pray that he'll play at least 20, which would be two more years.
Mm-hmm.
And if he really wanted to, he probably could play even longer than that.
Jimmy DeVellano is the Senior Vice President of the Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Tigers. I'm Roger Lajoie. You're listening to The Night Shift on The Fan. After the update, Jimmy and I will talk about the Stanley Cup Final and some of the upsets that happened earlier in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And, of course, Steve Yzerman. Jimmy drafted him into the National Hockey League and now sees him goes on to be the general manager of Tampa Bay. We'll talk about that a little bit later. If you have a question for Jimmy, by all means, email us at roger@fan590.com. roger@fan590.com, and we'll pass on the question to him. Jimmy, a couple of minutes here before the break, you talked about, and we've talked about it many times, is the future of franchises. And when I say, you know, keeping your core players together, maybe talk to us about the future of the front office of the Detroit Red Wings, though. None of us is getting any younger, in particular the owner of the franchise, the Joe Louis Arena. And I got to tell you, one of the things I really like is you go into that rink, that's a hockey rink. There is buckets
not much
of beer in the hall. It's just like it's a hockey rink. But, like I say,
lineups for the washrooms.
Yeah, oh, boy. You better plan
the
number one breaks
at
a good time. Is there concern that at some point, you know, something has to happen there?
Oh, yeah. There's no question about it. And our owners are very forward-thinking people. You know, Mike and Marian Ilitch are very forward. And, yeah, they're behind the scenes, Roger, they acknowledge that we need to get a new arena. We will. It'll be in downtown Detroit. I don't need to tell you or anybody else what the economic situation is today. And that makes it a little bit more complicated. The economy right now makes it a little more complicated. But yes, the Red Wings will down the road get a new arena. But in the meantime, we've got to just keep Joe Louis up. And as you point out, it is a good hockey arena.
Great hockey arena. It's a lot of fun. And people don't get an opportunity to get down there. If you haven't been down there in the last couple of years, get down there. And you can certainly see a lot of playoff hockey in Detroit, and the hope is that continues next year as well. After the break, once again, we're going to talk to Jimmy about the Stanley Cup Finals, and how about the playoffs and all the upsets this year? What happened in the Eastern Conference? Well, I'll tell you what happened. 7-8 in the final. Haven't seen that ever. Red Wings, of course, in their season, Steve Yzerman, drafted by Jimmy DeVellano in 1983, and now Steve Yzerman, a general manager in the National Hockey League. How tough is it to say goodbye to somebody who's been in your organization for 27 years? And actually, Jimmy and Steve came in together, if you look at it that way. And we'll talk a little bit about the Stanley Cup Final and some other hockey-related issues as well with Jimmy DeVellano. After midnight, Paul Jones, voice of the Raptors on the NBA playoffs, Eugene Melnick and Dave Branch, two of the top interviews from earlier today. Adam Proto of the Hockey News will break down the Flyers and the Blackhawks for us as well. And we'll hear some sound from the NHL and the NBA as the NHL gets ready for the Stanley Cup to open Saturday night in Chicago. Lakers in a battle tonight against Phoenix. Up by 8, but the Suns got to within 6. 7 minutes to go in the fourth quarter. We'll keep an eye on that for you as well. All that's coming up on The Night Shift. I'm Roger Lajoie, and you know the station. Fan 590. Tonight Shift on the Fan 590. I'm Roger Lajoie. That's who I am. And Jimmy DeVellano is with us, Senior Vice President of the Detroit Red Wings and the Tigers. We continue our conversation with Jimmy D here in the studio. If you have a comment or a question for Jimmy DeVellano, let's hear it at roger@fan590.com. We'll ask Jimmy some questions that you email in after our next update. roger@fan590.com. We welcome your comments. For Mr. DeVellano, Jimmy, you've gone hand-in-hand with Steve Yzerman in Detroit.
I mean,
you started your career as a general manager there.
And he was our very first draft pick,
pretty
Roger.
Pretty good one. Whatever happened to him? 27 years in the organization, 23 years, the ultimate team captain.
Right.
Then mentored in the front office with yourself and Kenny Holland and the great staff that you have, Mr. Ilitch in Detroit. and a couple of days ago made official, and now the general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Your thoughts on that?
Well, Roger, it goes back a long way, and most people wouldn't know this. During the last third of Steve Yzerman's playing career, him and I had a lot of talks. He aspired to be a general manager in the NHL, way back even towards the end of his playing career. And we talked a lot about it, and I often said to him, well, I can tell you this much, Steve, I don't know who's going to be the manager in Detroit when you finish playing, but you will be part of our front office. So he knew for many years later in his playing career that he was going to join us on retirement. And, of course, he did retire 4 years ago, and we kept our promise. He came in and joined our management team, and it was a terrific opportunity for him because he had a chance to work with Kenny Holland, the manager. He had a chance to work with Jim Nill, our assistant, who's in charge of the amateur scouting and our farm system in Grand Rapids. He was able to sit in on all of our pro hockey meetings with our pro scouts, the Mark Howes and the Glenn Murkowskis and the Pat Verbeeks. He was able to watch how we work the cap. We have a capologist, a young attorney by the name of Ryan Martin. And so he was able to ask a lot of questions. He was able to observe a lot. And then, of course, when he got the opportunity to put Canada's Olympic team together, that really gave him cause also to get out and watch NHL games and see players as he put his team together. And so, you know, he got a lot of valuable experience, Roger, kind of being on the scene and being involved with all our people. And actually, about a year ago, I got a call from the owner, Craig Leopold of the Minnesota Wild, asking for permission to talk to Steve about a general manager's job in Minnesota, the Wild. They had let Doug Risebrough go. And I spoke to the Illiches, our owners, and we gave Craig permission to talk to Steve. And he decided not to take the job, Steve did, because he thought, you know, I've got this Team Canada thing coming up. It's probably not fair to go to a new team as a new general manager.
Yeah, the timing's not a good
one. Well, he didn't feel the timing was fair to Craig and the Minnesota Wild, but certainly a nice opportunity. And Cliff Fletcher's son, Chuck Fletcher, got the job. Well, about a month ago, I got to know Jeff Vinnick, having sort of been a resident in Tampa all winter. And he sought me out because he had heard about me and that I was there, and had a number of talks with me and talked about a lot of people in the game, and said that he really wanted to build a world-class organization and that he really wanted to get somebody very, very, very special to come into Tampa and try to start to do what we did 28 years ago in Detroit, build an organization and build it properly. And it wasn't long before, well, actually, Roger, you'll be pleased to know, I gave him a copy of my book. I said, this is how you build a team. And he read it in 2 days, this guy. He read it in 2 days. And, of course, Roger, you'll recall how much information we had in there about Steve Yzerman.
Sure.
Because, obviously, Steve was such a big part of what happened in Detroit. So he approached us about the ability to talk to Steve Yzerman. And, again, we gave permission. And there were a lot of talks between Steve and Jeff Vinnick, a lot of face-to-face talks. Steve wanted to know certain things. First of all, how committed Jeff was. Was he in it for the long term? Mm-hmm. You know, so when Steve really got all his concerns answered, there was a 5-year contract there for him, and certainly that's a nice length of time, Roger, for somebody new coming in to try to build a team. 5 years is really a good amount of time. And so he took the job, and it's with mixed emotions. We're going to miss him because not only was he a player and a fellow executive, he became a friend of mine. I mean, I was at his wedding. We've socialized together, and he's leaned on me over the years for a lot of counsel and advice. So there's a little sadness there, but also I'm very excited for him because I really do think it is a golden opportunity. I mean, Roger, here we have sort of like what you got in Detroit. One owner, one guy, Jeff Vinnick, who has lots of money, who is committed to the Tampa Bay Lightning. He wants to make it work, and he's prepared to go and get the best people possible. And really, what more can you ask for, of an opportunity? And I think Steve agreed with that on analyzing everything. And so he's off and running, trying to get the Tampa Bay Lightning off and running.
That's where the Red Wings are. That would be the ultimate goal for sure. Reports are it's a very good financial contract.
Yes.
That you mentioned, 5 years. So there's
yes.
no doubt that the terms of the deal are there.
Yes.
Is he ready in your estimation? And I know that's a difficult question for you to answer, honestly, because, you know, obviously, you know, if he wasn't, I don't think you'd be,
yes.
you know, come out and
no.
say that. But did he get enough experience in the front office there? Will there be a learning curve still for Steve Yzerman?
Well, you know, Roger, the first thing I told Steve was, and Kenny did as well, be prepared for a lifestyle change, because it's not like being a hockey player. And it's not like not being a general manager as he was in Detroit. The life of a general manager in the National Hockey League, Roger, is 7 days a week, 18 hours a day. The phone never stops. And it's owners, agents, press, hockey players, coaches, trainers,
media.
Scouts, media. Okay. And so, you know, we warned him of a significant lifestyle change. And, of course, he understands that. We feel that he's as ready as he's ever going to be, Roger. When I tell you that Ken Holland, Jimmy Neal, we all opened ourselves up to him the minute he stopped playing. I mean, he came right into our inner sanctum and was really involved with Kenny, you know, on contract signings, all the things that a general manager does.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, Roger, when you say, is somebody ready or do they have enough experience? I always say every general manager that got hired the first time, there would be a question mark. Does he have enough experience? Can he do it? You got to put somebody's feet to the fire and let them go and do it. I will tell you this about him. He's bright. He's articulate. He certainly knows hockey. He certainly knows players. He certainly knows the type of guys that you can win with. Roger, really half the battle, as you know, is finding good hockey players,
sure.
getting good hockey players. And I like the things he said in his opening press conference. He said to the Tampa media, if you think I'm going to come in here and wave a magic wand and the Stanley Cup is going to appear here in a year or two, it ain't going to happen. Okay? This is a long-term
process.
He said, I lived it in Detroit. I went there with Jimmy D in 1983, and we were right at the bottom of the league almost and had to scratch and claw to just even get respectable. So he said, I know what that's all about. And he said, saying all of that, you know, we do have a nice start with a player like Steve Stamkos. We do have a nice start with a young 18-year-old defenseman, Victor Hedman. Marty St. Louis is a pretty good hockey player. So, you know, the cupboard isn't totally bare, but we still have a ways to go. And I thought he handled that well, and he prepared the media and the fans in Tampa to say, hey, look, I am Steve Yzerman. You're not going to get miracles right away.
Jimmy Devolano is our guest, Senior Vice President of the Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Tigers. I'm Roger Lajoie. It's a night shift on the Fan 590. It's fascinating stuff, Jimmy, when you put it in that context, you know, because you got to manage the expectations of both the owner and the media, you know, and temper them, maybe temper the the expectations, you know, right off the bat. So everybody does give you enough time to be successful.
Right.
In the salary cap era, I mean, is it still reasonable to, you know, expect? I mean, is 5 years a legitimate time if you're, and I don't think Tampa thinks they're starting from scratch because, as you mentioned, there are the Stamkos,
yes.
there are some pieces there. Hedman, you know, they've already had a
yes.
couple of high picks. Is 5 years reasonable?
Well, you know, Roger, you know I know the Tampa Bay Lightning. I know them as well as
sure,
the Detroit Red Wings.
Yeah.
I see them all the time, and I do pay attention. And what I said to Steve Yzerman was, I said, Steve, it could be rough for a year or two. If you got fortunate, were able to pick up a couple of decent hockey players, you could challenge for a playoff spot as early as next year. I'm not so sure that's all that important. I think the most important thing is that you start to get going in the right direction. You don't make quick fixes so that you're a little bit better 1 year. He wants to build a team that will be good for many, many years. I truly believe, with any luck at all, and I told Steve this, that he, in his fifth year at the end of his contract, he should have a pretty good competitive team. Team that might be capable of winning as much as a couple of rounds of the playoffs. I think that would be fair.
No, realistic, and then we'll see if he can do it. Certainly a good guy. We don't know a lot about Steve personally, and I think that's a thing that I remember reading a book on him years ago. I believe it was Doug Fisher that wrote the book.
But yes, you're
okay,
right.
Thank
yes.
you. I didn't really know that much more about him after reading the book, and that's no disrespect to the author. It's just he's a private guy.
Well, if you recall, Roger, he wasn't authorized to do it by Yzerman.
Mm-hmm.
He decided to do the book about Steve.
Without Steve's approval.
I did tell Steve, look, the author has approached me, and I'm going to talk to him about you. Mm-hmm. He said, well, okay, but I'm not talking to him.
Yeah, there was a lot. Yeah. Thank goodness you talked
yeah.
about him, because you're the only
exactly.
guy we got out of it.
Yeah, and Dave Lewis spoke about Steve and a few others. You know, we were able to talk about him. But Steve is a private individual, you know, very, very private, and... nice wife, three young daughters, you know, watched them grow from an 18-year-old teenager out of Peterborough to a 45-year-old executive. But quiet, reserved, really not much of an ego, Roger, really, for the great, great hockey player that he was. You know, I have to tell you, you know, and I think I can say this on behalf of Ken Auld and Jim Neal. I know I can. He was very, very respectful to us when he came in from the playing ranks and joined us. I mean, he really was very, very, very respectful, meshed in lovely. And it really was a good group, Roger, and he fit in nicely.
Best of luck to him, because he's a good man. Good things happen to good people. Steve Yzerman goes on to the Tampa Bay Lightning, be their general manager. Jimmy Devolano, senior vice president of the Detroit Red Wings, and the Tigers will continue a conversation with us after the next update. I'm Roger Lajoie, and after the next update, we'll talk about this year's Stanley Cup playoffs and some of the big upsets, what may be in store, and how about the Chicago Blackhawks? Maybe they are the new Detroit Red Wings as they get ready to take on the Philadelphia Flyers starting on Saturday in Chicago. After midnight, Paul Jones on the NBA playoffs, and Phoenix and the Lakers tied 101-101, 3.5 seconds left in Los Angeles. What a finish tonight in LA. All that's coming up on the Night Shift here on The Fan.
This is The Night Shift on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
There was a pretty good band in the day, Chicago. And speaking of Chicago, they're hosting the Stanley Cup Final starting Saturday night. Roger Lajoie here in the Night Shift in Toronto. Jimmy Devolano, senior vice president of the Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Tigers, as we continue our discussion with Jimmy D. Before we talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs in Chicago, Jimmy, a couple of emails here, and just going to have you respond to them if you don't mind. Philip emails in, says, hey, Roger, can you ask Jimmy how it feels? I like this one. Can you ask Jimmy how it feels, how to take part in the playoffs post-lockout? As a Leafs fan, I wouldn't know. that's his comment, not yours. Yeah. Also, there was another player you were thinking of drafting instead of Yzerman, or was it Stevie all the way? Now, he hasn't read our book, so I know the answer to that one. But first of all, post-lockout, you haven't seemed to have missed a beat as a franchise.
Well, as I told you, that amazing statistic that Ken Holland told me, that only three teams in the last 5 years have made the playoffs all 5 years. That is really unbelievable. San Jose, New Jersey, and us. I'm stunned by that. I would have never...
I wouldn't have thought of it either, but then you look at it, you know, well, Montreal's missed the playoffs. Toronto hasn't made the playoffs at all.
Like Colorado.
You go down the list. LA. That's right. Pittsburgh. Yeah, only the last couple of years.
Washington. Yeah. So it is amazing, you know, and it gets harder and harder. Yeah, you know, believe it or not, sometimes you're better to be lucky than smart to the caller.
Yeah.
In 1983 in the amateur draft, there were two players that we liked equally. One was Pat LaFontaine. The other was Steve Yzerman. And actually, Pat LaFontaine was a little bit ahead of Steve in our rating, simply because he was born and bred in Detroit. He went up to Verdun to play Major Junior A. And they were both equal 18-year-old, highly skilled offensive players. Pat LaFontaine was born and raised in Detroit, and then when I went to Detroit, the building was only a quarter full, and we needed to market. And had Pat LaFontaine been there, we would have taken him. What happened was the New York Islanders had a pick right before us, third pick that they had, Bill Torrey had acquired in a trade from Colorado, the original Colorado Rockies, and they took Pat LaFontaine, 3. Yzerman fell to us. Didn't I tell you it's better to be lucky than smart?
And Patty LaFontaine was a great NHLer, too, and
yes,
a great long
was.
Career.
Yes, he was.
I'd take
yes,
Yzerman, he was. Too. And you're right, but he happens to fall to you. It's kind of funny.
Yes, it is.
And Dan, and thank you for the email, Philip. And Dan also emails in, Mr. Delavano, I'm a big fan of yours, and congratulations on your continuing success with the Red Wings. My question for you very simply is, do you have one definitive favorite moment in your NHL career? You've had so many great drafts, so many great championships. Is there one thing that's a favorite? You know what? I don't even know the answer to that.
Well, question. I'm going to answer it now, Roger. It's May 24th, 1980 at 5:10 in the afternoon.
First Cup. Yeah.
First Stanley Cup of the New York Islanders. Bobby Nystrom in overtime at 5:10 on a Saturday afternoon, May 24th. Islanders win their first Stanley Cup. It was our eighth year of existence as a team. And as a young Canadian boy growing up in Scarborough, Ontario, what does every young Canadian boy want? He wants a Stanley Cup ring, and he wants his name on the cup. And when that happened, I knew that I was going to get both. And I didn't have the foresight to believe that it would ever happen again. And I've been very, very blessed to have it happen six other times.
Yeah, fantastic. Seven Stanley Cups, all the championship rings from minor hockey, and the ring you have from the Tigers has been a wonderful career. And Dan, thank you. That's a great question for Jimmy D. Okay, we've got a few minutes left. Let's talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs this year. Were you as surprised as many of us what transpired in the East? The West went more according to form.
Yes.
Chicago and San Jose, obviously 1 and 2. But
sure.
Boy, did you see Philadelphia and Montreal? What happened?
No. I mean, truthfully, Roger, if anybody had told me that Montreal would beat Washington in the first round, I'd have looked at you like you had three heads. And I certainly didn't think they'd get by Pittsburgh. And it just shows you, what do we know? But it also shows you what can happen with a hot goaltender. And if a good team maybe doesn't get quite the caliber of goaltending they need, they can be nipped. And that's really what happened. I mean, watching Montreal, you know, Halleck, the goaltender, really, really did a job for them, I think, in the first two rounds. Camilleri did a nice job of putting the puck in the net. And they had a magical ride. And there were a lot of upsets, but... that's why, you know, we always talk in Detroit, there's two seasons. One's the regular season and the other's the playoffs. And I think most teams wish that all the emphasis would be on the regular season because it's the longer of the two, but everybody forgets what you do in the regular season if you don't do well in the playoffs. That's just the way it is.
Yeah,
so,
it's the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, exactly.
No doubt about that.
And we went through that, Roger, as
sure
you know,
did.
In the early 90s. So it's tough, but it's exciting. And we have a terrific Stanley Cup final. Two big markets, Philadelphia and Chicago. Both haven't won in a long, long time. Chicago since 1961. They've only won three cups in their entire existence since 1926. And then you've got the Flyers who, very early on, they came in 67, and holy cow, by 74 and 75, led by Bobby Clark and Bernie Parent, they won back-to-back. And you know the funny thing is, I was with Ed Snyder, the owner of the Flyers, having dinner last July, and he was kind of bemoaning the fact that, you know, he'd been trying to win that cup since 75. He's the original owner from 67. I said, but Ed, you've been in the Stanley Cup Finals five times since you won those two cups. Yeah, but he said, we didn't win. And here he is now, since the two cups, Roger, this is his sixth time. So he's in tough. Chicago have home ice advantage, but you never know. I mean, most people are picking Chicago. I suppose if I had to pick somebody, I would say Chicago. But I don't think it should entirely shock anybody if Philadelphia was able to do it in a long series.
I would agree. Hey, listen, if you can come back from 0-3 down, the Boston Bruins, you can do anything in a playoff series. So it'll be a lot of fun. Open Saturday in Chicago. I'm going to have a chance to be at Game 2 Monday night, so I look forward to that. Very much. Jimmy, let's take a couple minutes to talk about the Tigers. Another love for you, two-game losing streak, but just a game and a half out in the Central Division. It looks like one of those years, as it is most years, I would say, with the Tigers, that they can compete for that Central Division.
Yeah, that's what's happening, Roger. It looks early on like it's a two-horse race, the Tigers and Minnesota. They nipped us last year, as you know, in a sudden death game. But they always have a good competitive club, and we think we have a good competitive club. We think we've got pretty good pitching. We've got a good bullpen, and we think we can contend for the Central Division. And you pretty much, Roger, in our case, have to win the division in order to qualify for the playoffs, because it's sort of unlikely that the wild card would come out of our division. So you got to finish on top in order to get in the playoffs, and we're going to give it a good try.
How's attendance been with the Tigers? I know it's a challenge. We've talked about it constantly in the Detroit market, and the Red Wings, of course, you know, had some tickets for playoff games. That's been an ongoing thing, but a lot of that has to do with maybe the fans being spoiled in addition to the... Always a challenge. What's the latest report? One thing, the Tigers winning a lot of ball games at Comerica Park.
Yeah, we're good at home, and I think, Roger, now with school soon to be out, better weather, us staying in contention with Minnesota is going to be very, very important. We're looking to have a good June, July, August at the gate. The attendance has been, I would describe it as just okay. It needs to be a bit better. And so we're counting on a competitive team and good weather in June, July, and August. And it looks like we're going to draw somewhere just a little north of 2 million people.
Mm. Well, that's a drop from where it was, but still, better than middle of the pack in baseball, the way that baseball tends to. There are a lot of markets that are suffering these days.
Yeah, you're right.
Sure. Mike Ilitch is the owner of both teams, and you know, we didn't spend a lot of time talking about Mike Ilitch in the book we did, although he was such a part, of course, when you came to Detroit, you know, by osmosis, we find out. Mike is, correct me if I'm wrong, is 75?
81.
81.
In July. He's 80
July.
Now,
so
as
80
we speak, 81. Yeah, 81 in July.
Still actively involved, still enjoying the investment. What's he like?
Well,
tough question.
Well, no. If I had to give you one word, very, very driven. Very, very, very driven person. Roger, guess to put it in perspective, just think of an ordinary man who went door to door selling aluminum and siding in 1958. His wife was worked at the Delta Airlines counter. These were ordinary people in Detroit. They saved $10,000 and they opened up a pizza shop in Detroit. One. Now, these are ordinary people. Can you imagine how they took that one shop and made it 4,000 shops across North America? Wow. 4,000 Little Caesars. That allowed them to buy the Detroit Red Wings. And then with the success of the Red Wings, many years later, they were able to buy the Detroit Tigers. And then Mrs. Ilitch was able to buy Motor City Casino. I mean, it's an unbelievable story. I look at them and I always say, you people are amazing. How, from such a simple, humble
background.
But you know what it was, Roger? They worked their tushes off. They worked, I mean, they were in the stores. They were on their people. And he runs his sports teams the same way. He keeps us hopping. He keeps us motivated. He wants to know what's going on. He's interested. And listen, it's worked real good for all of us.
Oh, it has worked extremely well for the Tigers and especially for the Red Wings. Jimmy, it is always a treat to hear you. The hour goes by so fast when you come by and visit with us. And now that you're in Toronto for the summer, I hope you'll come by and visit us whenever you get an opportunity. Thanks so much for your friendship and for working on the book with you. The Road to Hockey Town, Jimmy Devlano's 40 Years in the NHL, still available online in many bookstores. And Jimmy, a treat. You stay well, and we've got to have lunch maybe next week.
Yeah, let's do that. And love to come on with you again, Raj. Thank you.
And you will. Thank you. It's Jimmy D, everybody, Senior Vice President of the Detroit Red Wings and the Detroit Tigers.